Noah Walters from Lincoln East is the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state for football. Record-setting quarterback who may end up at Iowa Western. Former pretty talented in-state product, Nate Glantz, has worked out at Iowa Western. And now Noah Walters, deservedly the Gatorade Player of the Year. Before we talk to AK, here is Dave. Hello, my man.
Hi, Sharpie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, that previous caller a couple calls ago said that Frost and Hoiberg were splash hired. Okay. I can deal with that. Now, let's talk a little insider trading here.
All righty.
They would have been splash hires wherever they would have went. And does it come down to that the two schools they ended up at, Nebraska program, were those two programs inside the school broken beyond repair? So anybody would have failed.
You mean
at
in their current state?
Yes.
Well, I don't think anybody in their right mind, Dave, could think that they would both be in this spot 4 years through and in year three. One job is more difficult than the other, but you could not have told me on December 2nd of 2017. Frost is going to be blank, no bowl game in 4 years. Hoiberg then is going to get hired a little bit later, and he's going to, have the struggles that he's having.
No, I can relate with that. You know where I actually coach at, and we've been through four schools in the last 5 years. Our four coaches, not schools. We've been through four coaches. One of them's about to win a state championship next week. So there comes a point in time when where does it actually come down to the coaching and not so much internal is my question. Is that something that everybody's forgetting in all these Frost and Hoiberg?
Well, okay, that's fair. At the beginning, you could make excuses for internal, but the internal part has gotten fixed. Are we talking about internal on the structure of support from the top of the university through the athletic department? Or are we talking inside of your own locker room? Because I think we're talking about from the administration to the athletic director. That is better than it's ever been. That is not an excuse for either program, and neither one of them use it as an excuse. It's actually, I think, a strength for both of those guys. So that's better since they took over.
With that being said, is that athletic department strength better now because of who the new AD is, or is that something that's gotten better since the Moose days?
Well, it kind of started with Moose because you had the administration got on board and they said it's okay for the athletics to be the front door to the university. And you had an athletic director that he made it well known he wanted to win. He was a shoot for the moon. Let's go get Scott Frost. Let's go get Fred Hoiberg. Now you've shifted where Moose did that, but I don't think Moose was respected. Now you got a guy in there that he not only demands your respect, but he draws your respect, and you have to work with him because he wants to win and he wants to help, and he's not going to settle for anything that's happened in the past. So they're better internally than they've been in a long time.
Well, I'll agree with that, and I kind of mirror it to Florida a little bit because Florida, and you're familiar with it. You were here for the Urban years, and they're still chasing that. Everybody says Nebraska, they're chasing the '90s. Florida's chasing the Urban Meyer years, and they need to admit it, but they won't.
Well, I think it all starts with, is there accountability? If you have accountability in the administration, athletic director, the coaches, if everybody's holding everybody accountable and you have a clear vision of where you're going and how to get there and what is it expected, then you're in a better spot than I think Nebraska's been. And this has kind of turned in the last couple of years. But they were during the malaise of Peterson to T.O. to Sean Eichhorst.
Oh, I'll agree with
that. Yeah, you can't. And again, neither one of them are. They don't even bring this up. But you can't go back now and go, man. Look at, hey, I feel for you, Manny Diaz. We're going through the same thing here. That is simply not the case here, and that's a benefit for both of those programs.
Absolutely. Yep. Hey. So, got to get ready for a popka.
Hey, Dave, thanks for the call.
You got it.
Here, let's shift here to Andy Kendi from KATV. Good Tuesday. It's been a while since you and I have talked.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
How was your trip? How was your life on the road?
It was long. It was long.
Yeah.
We had We had a team-wide non-COVID illness that included a hospitalization, but you know, we're trying to get through it. One of these days, we're going to win a basketball game and then win another one and then win another one.
Isn't it interesting when you say that whenever you say you're feeling under the weather or you're sick, you immediately have to quantify it that it's not COVID? I mean, that's the rule these days. We've had a little bug going through KETV, and it's the same thing. Everybody kind of looks at you with alarming and these bug eyes, and they're like, no, it's not. So yeah, that's where we're at, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
You gotta just work through it, power through it.
Yeah, going from 75, 80 degrees in Lubbock to about 30 degrees in Indianapolis was not good for anybody. Yeah.
It was nice last week, and all of a sudden they turn on the cooler here, though. I tell you, man, last weekend I was like, woo, where did that nice weather go?
I know, but I've seen the forecast for next week. We're going to be okay. This is fine. This is nice weather.
Yeah. We're one step closer to baseball season, I think. At least college baseball season. Who knows about pro baseball? MLB.
Hey, when eventually this whole coaching carousel, finding assistant coaches is over locally, And I think they want to have it wrapped up by Friday. What would be an announcement of a guy calling plays that at least would make 60% of the fan base okay? You wouldn't be angry.
I don't know if you're going to get that.
I'm being optimistic.
Well, yeah, but you know, here's the thing. Even you might get 60%, and then you might get a faction of the fan base saying, I don't care who it is, just win. And, you know, that's where they're at this point. You know, it's been an interesting dynamic listening to different viewpoints about which way Nebraska should go. I've enjoyed hearing the stances that, oh, Nebraska should just be a pure option team, this, that, and the other thing, and what have you. Or, oh, Scott Frost learned something the last two games that his way is actually can work against the incredible defenses. They just need the execution. I kind of lean towards the latter philosophy, that this offense has the ability to work. And they just need to, hey, here, you got to protect the quarterback. You got to hit open receivers, and you got to run the football. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. It doesn't really matter what kind of offense you run. You got to execute no matter what and have the guys do it. So, yes, it's important to have the offensive coordinator. It's a big name, and obviously because Scott Frost won't be calling the plays next year, at least that's what he said, that is very important. I don't know if you're going to get everybody on the same page with the hire. I just don't think you're going to get that until the season begins and we get to see the product on the field.
See, I agree with you. As those last two games unfolded and Scott was the sole guy calling plays and there was some success, I thought, wow, he's going to look in the mirror and go, hey, I'm telling you, this works. We just need X, Y, and Z to execute, and we're going to be fine. Maybe I don't want to stop calling plays.
I don't think you have to blow it up. I mean, you saw it. Even the plays that didn't work, there were opportunities for those plays to work for the most part, right? I was impressed with the approach with the offense when Scott was running the show, doing the thing. It was impressive, and you know, if the guys are in the right position, you just have to make the passes. You have to catch the passes. You have to actually make the passes and hit the guy in stride, and you have to expect the quarterback to give him time to make sure that you can find the guys who are open. And furthermore, you need a guy that can run the football, not your fourth and fifth string guys. You know, that's the thing. So I was encouraged by the last two games of the year, and hopefully he gets somebody that, you know, that sees the same things we have seen, and then next step is just executing. And you know, and it's interesting. It's taken this long, but I know there's a whole bunch of factors that play into it. But I was under the thought that I was thinking that this would be wrapped up last week. But you know, sprint to the finish with recruiting next week, and should be an interesting 8 days.
That's perfect. You got I got basketball coming up here, and we got a Kansas State game, I think, on the 19th. Just announce the entire staff at halftime, have a big celebration.
Right.
You know how those things go, and you get the awkward Bill Callahan that is trying to read from a list about what the right thing to say in front of Nebraska fans, and he has to check his list.
Right.
No place like Nebraska.
Yeah, hopefully the coach doesn't try to come up with a phony, baloney Nebraska accent.
Oh.
That was painful to watch. Oh, my goodness. Cringeworthy.
Yes. Now I've heard that people are saying that the mic was throwing him off.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it. Come on.
Yeah,
these are professionals. Hey. They know what they're doing.
So we have seen this now for, you know, we're on a two-week cycle of all these new coaches being hired, and they have their press conferences. Why do you think coaches make guarantees that a majority of them don't even come to fruition? A lot of them have to do with, I'm here to get you another national title or do blank, blank, blank. Why do coaches even go there?
Well, I think it's all about building hope and banging the drum and selling tickets. I think it is a time-honored tradition to give out some big, broad-brush, grandiose expectations to have the fan bases jump on board. You know, I still remember, and I'm going to date myself, 31 years ago when Barry Alvarez was hired at Wisconsin, and his famous quote, and I'm paraphrasing, says, you better get your season tickets now because someday you're not going to be able to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought he was crazy because Camp Randall in those days were half full. And it was half full. And so, sure enough, you know, it's all about building hope with these new coaches and the promise of a brighter day. And, you know, some coaches can sell sunshine a little better than others. It's been interesting to watch these introductory press conferences. There's very few coaches that don't win that first press conference.
Yeah.
But I think there's different levels of victory as well, because some of these guys, of course, say the right things, and some of the guys really say the right things, and you want to go through a wall for them. You know, it's interesting where Nebraska's at with their coaches. Obviously, with the situation they're in, with the signing date where it's at, we won't probably hear from any of these coaches until after signing day, and maybe not even signing day, maybe not until spring practice. So, you know, it's different with the head coach than it is a coordinator, but still, it's still exciting times for programs that need hope. And, you know, Nebraska is obviously one of them. But it's been fascinating for some of these programs that have had great expectations and have had power programs and have a new coach, and they're still making promises and what have you. We'll see which comes true and which do not.
You've been here long enough. You remember any significant moments of introductory press conferences of coaches or athletic directors where you walked out and you went, wow. I mean, because we've had a run of three athletic directors have been announced in the last, 6-month time frame. We've had a couple of head coaches that have been hired.
I thought Scott, when Scott Frost was hired and he said the Big Ten is going to have to adjust to us, I thought that day, that whole scenario, that weekend, remember, I was in Orlando for that awkward AAC championship game where the news broke during the game. That was just the whole thing. The weekend was very odd. We're tracking plane flights at our hotel in Orlando trying to get back to Lincoln for the news conference the next day. And I thought that press conference, at the end of that press conference, I was like, wow, this is, it's going to happen. You know, like I left that saying, home run hire, this is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That adjusting, you know, the Big Ten, I hope the Big Ten has to adjust to us. And obviously it hasn't worked out that way. But I thought that press conference was one of the more memorable ones since I've been here. I can tell you the most awkward, there's been a couple awkward moments when both Doc Sadler was leaving and when Mike Riley had his exit, an exit press conference. And we were appreciative of the coaches to do that, but it's just a very unique circumstance when there's a news conference after the guy is shown the door.
I don't think anybody will forget the Tom Osborne, Doc Sadler press conference. I mean, that was painful. And then to top it off, the Mike Riley one. Like, he gets fired. Bill Moose has his deal. Riley comes in, what, an hour later?
Yeah, not even.
And then after he's done, he walks around and shakes all of our hands. And then he goes to a Nebraska basketball game a couple of days later and sits in the stands.
Yeah. I love Mike Riley. He's such a nice guy. He was just such a good person to deal with. I'm sorry that it didn't work out for him coaching at Nebraska, but that was one of the more awkward moments in my professional career. You just don't see that. You just don't see that in sports at any level, let alone major college football. And that was one for the ages, no question.
Andy Kendi from KATV joining us. Speaking of Doc Sadler, and everybody is wishing the best for Matt Abdelmassi stepping away from Fred Hoiberg's staff. If Fred gets ejected tonight, does that mean that Doc is the head coach?
Oh, you know, I never even went down that road, but yeah, I would think he would be, right? And if he were to lead the team to victory, does he get credit? No, I think Fred still gets credit after you're ejected, right? Yeah, so I would think that would be one of the bigger upsets if Fred Hoiberg gets ejected tonight, but... but I think it's worth.
Now, did you not watch the movie Hoosiers?
That's right. Kick me out.
I mean, what would the reaction be if all of a sudden Doc was in charge? Oh my gosh.
That would be amazing. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you never know. You just never know. You know, this is a tough deal, and obviously they have not had the progress these last couple of days that they were hoping, but they, you know, you hate to sound like the football team, but they're playing better and, you know, the scores are closer. It's just, they've got to get over that hump and win some of these games. And, you know, Michigan is Michigan, and you're going to have to have your game, but you're going to have to win some of these games to turn that corner. And your best bet is to win some of these games at home. So, you know, no time like the present, and it's going to be an interesting atmosphere at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
PBA.
Michigan's 5-3, and they haven't won back-to-back games since the first game of the year. Now, they still have Hunter Dickinson, and they are a large team, and they're still Michigan, but it's not. I mean, it seems doable tonight, especially playing at home. Look at Nebraska and Creighton. And Creighton had a great atmosphere on Saturday night. Iowa State had a great game plan to muck it up. You know, and it looked like just physically and facially, it was definitely a older team against a very, very young team. And Iowa State won that game, and Iowa State's unbeaten. So Creighton's in a stretch where they get BYU and then they got Villanova next Friday. If you looked at through first month of the season, who is closer to who you thought they would be? Nebraska or Creighton men's basketball?
I think that's a good question. I don't think either one have strayed too far from what we thought. If you were to describe the Iowa State game just like you did a month ago to a friend, I think you would say, yeah, I could see that happening. You know, Iowa State is a team that's going to want to ugly up a game, and Creighton's youth is going to show. And that's basically what happened. And so the bottom line, though, is that Creighton still is 7-2, and they've won games that they were expected to win. There really hasn't been a clunker. I don't think you can call Colorado State a clunker.
No, Colorado State's really, really good.
I think they're very good. So, you know, to be 7-2, Creighton, I think you would take that any day of the week going through this last part of the non-con heading into the Big East conference schedule. As for Nebraska, you know, a whole new roster makeover. You know, the McGowan's injury was unfortunate, but to be 5-4, it's still okay from where you were at. Now, in 2 weeks, if you're losing to Kennesaw State and have ugly losses to Auburn and K-State, then you might have to revisit this conversation. But I think Nebraska is close to turning the corner. But for both teams, you got to hit some. You're going to have to make shots, and that's been a struggle for both clubs. So it's going to be a fascinating game tonight, and I'm really looking forward to this weekend to see what Creighton can do against a ranked team at home. You know, not at home, but it's Sioux Falls. Because that's kind of one of those deals that you say, "Ooh, man, if that was at CHI, it might be a different deal." But I'm sure there's going to be plenty of blue in the Sanford Pentagon up there, which is kind of an old school Hoosiers type floor too.
Oh, have you been up there?
I have not.
It is
not been in that arena. I've been up to Sioux Falls, but I've never been inside the Pentagon.
Well, that whole area is kind of blown up. They have a couple of different facilities, and they have a hotel and a sports bar that's right there. It's unique. The history of South Dakota basketball that they have out in the concourse and the way it's set up with not only the main arena, but then they have like auxiliary courts. I mean, I've been up there for AAU tournaments. I've been up there. Omaha played South Dakota up there a couple of years ago, and Omaha always practices in there. It's a really, really unique venue. And they're using it the right way by putting together showcase games for college basketball. I mean, Iowa and Gonzaga played there last year. You had Nebraska and Oklahoma State. The Dakota schools usually get good teams to come in there. I think they're going to be, yeah, you're right. There'll be a ton of blue. It'll just be one big Creighton party. It'll just happen to be in Sioux Falls, and you will think that you're in downtown Omaha.
Right. It's kind of like a mini basketball bowl trip, so to speak. The one you can drive up and back, and if you choose to stay overnight, you certainly can, especially for an 11 o'clock start. Now, the Pentagon itself, now, picture this. Is it just the arena, or is there another, like, convention center space for AAU basketball tournament in within the four walls?
No, so like right
complex?
Like right in the middle, they have the 3,200 seat main arena that's got the parquet floor and the old school clock. And then on the outer part of the building is where you get the AAU courts.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I know there's volleyball tournaments up there too, and they always, you know, they're obviously a big sponsor for the volleyball program, the youth volleyball up in Sioux Falls. So you always hear about the Sanford Pentagon. I never, you know, one of these days I'll get up there. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting deal this weekend for BYU Creighton, 11 a.m. on Saturday.
One final thing, speaking of volleyball, and a fan base that is just taking, you know, shot after shot and wondering if Will Bolt can start his baseball season on January 1. what do you think it would be like to go to the Final Four for volleyball if late night Saturday night, collectively, everybody's watching Nebraska, Texas, and Austin?
This Saturday would be incredible. That would be fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting because after the brackets were announced, the Nebraska players, yeah, they talked about being at home and playing in front of the home crowd, et cetera, et cetera. They also talked about playing Texas. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. Not talking about your first-round opponent, yep, or your second-round opponent, or your, you know, Sweet 16 opponent. You're talking about your regional final opponent the day the bracket comes out. That kind of gives you a picture of how important that would be if they can get past Illinois, which I think they should and will on Thursday night at 8:30, which is a terrible start time for local television, by the way. Somebody's got to consult with the local broadcast.
But you know what? You'll be on set in the closing shot, and you will update the score because Rob will turn to you and go, they're in the third set, and you'll go, yes, and Nebraska just went up 20-15.
Right. Rob's the best, too, because he'll get on his phone and give me updates in show sometimes when that happens. And I think that's going to be one of those nights where it happens on Thursday night. And let me just tell you, Gary, that how thrilled we are to have Monday Night Football back.
Oh, yes, I know you are.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, if you get last night's game, you'll be right on because I think they got right into SportsCenter at 10:05.
Running clock practically, right? Three passes in the game.
That's the next two for the Rams and the Cardinals and the Bears and the Vikings. They simulcast on ABC. Is that a bonus for KETV?
I think so. You know, it's one of the more puzzling changes in sports television broadcast history, in my opinion, when ABC shuttled out all their national sports to ESPN, and now I think ABC is saying, maybe we can put some more, because what do you watch live on television these days? You're not watching sitcoms or whatever. You're watching sporting events or awards shows. Those are the only appointment televisions left, television programs left. And so I think they started to figure that out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more and more of this type of scenario, this simulcast thing in the future. And who knows, the way this is going, we might have the Manning cast on ABC before too long.
Hey, so how do you think that would go on ABC? Because right now they shuffle it over to ESPN too.
I think there would be some viewership, no question. I think it would obviously, just the fact that it's cable versus not cable, and ABC, if ABC, my guess is that they would, well, I don't know. No, I don't know what they would do if they actually toyed with the idea of putting the Mannings on ABC. That would be a primo spot, and they would get a lot of eyeballs. And hopefully the technology would work if they get to that point. So I did think Joe Buck's lines last night about the blowout, about filling time during the Super Bowl that Peyton Manning was in. That was pretty good. That was good.
Yeah,
Joe Buck was good. You can say what you want about Joe Buck. He's pretty good, man. He's pretty good. And I know he's the guy that broadcasters, a lot of people love to hate, but you're going to look back later down the road and say, you know, he was all right.
Yeah, he was good last night. AK, as always, great to catch up.
Thanks, brother. We'll see you.
That's Andy Kenny from KETV.
You can't have Eli flipping the bird and Marshawn Lynch swearing on ABC.
That's why it would be a little bit. And they got two FCC complaints for Marshawn Lynch swearing.
Two.
Man, so it just depends on where you're at. I'll watch Comedy Central. I think the only thing on Comedy Central is Trevor Noah's show in The Office. So I'll sit and watch a couple episodes of The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Noah has a promo on there that he swears.
Oh, right in the commercial.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa. Never heard anybody go, oh my gosh, or say, we got to take that off the air. Now, you know, some networks you watch and they can say whatever and show whatever.
Yeah.
It's tough to keep track of. I thought it was just, Cinemax and on Friday nights when you're young, or Showtime or HBO.
Well, after 10:30, it's all fair game, and before that, it's up to whether or not anyone complains, really.
I can't be the only one that tried to get in the fuzzy Cinemax on Friday nights.
No comment from this side of the board?
Tom Chattel from the World Herald kicks off the last hour of the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. Woodhouse Place Nissan at 144th and Giles, and Woodhouse Nissan in Bellevue. Two great locations if you are looking for the next Nissan. They've got tons of inventory. You're hearing a lot of stories about lack of inventory. Not the case with Woodhouse. As you know from the entire family, they take care of you. They've got the same inventory in-store and online at Woodhouse Place Nissan and WoodhouseNissan.com, where you can find your perfect car, truck, or SUV, new and pre-owned. You can experience the difference, and you can shop with confidence today. They've got a very educated and friendly sales staff. They're not just going to make things up. If they don't know the answer, they're going to go and get the answer for you, because they want to put you in the vehicle that exceeds your expectations. They also understand you don't have a lot of time. You don't want to waste your time. So they are considerate of your time. They know that you've put a lot of research into this, and so they want to give you a quick, efficient, and pleasant purchasing experience. Smart and fair prices in the next car, truck, or SUV for you today at Woodhouse Place Nissan, 144th and Giles, or Woodhouse Nissan in Bellevue.